Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Greetings, greetings. Welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. We're so excited to have you with us this Tuesday, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, because this is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. And as always, we want to invite you in as we are participating in our study of the Book of Revelation. Today we will be looking at Revelation, and we'll be reviewing, we'll have a summary, and then we'll go into it again. Brother Eric Jefferson will be on shortly, and he will support us through this endeavor. I'll support him as well, and we ask that everybody who's participating with us today would bring what they have learned from their commentaries, and if they haven't read them, then pull them out so we can start working on them, and bring that information to the table so that we have a variety of opinions, not opinions, but a variety of discussion surrounding the theological understanding of Revelation. So as we start, I'd like us to open in prayer, and I will open in prayer, and then we will from there go to a song, Because of Who You Are by Vicky Yohe. And that's so much because the book of Revelation is about Jesus Christ, understanding that Jesus is the great triumphant ruler, king, phenomenal owner of the universe, the creator, and will be in all its majesty and glory, the one that has the deeds to the world in his hand. And so as we go forward in our studies, we will start with prayer. Almighty God, we come before you. We're just asking that you see each of our hearts, and that as we come, oh God, you would help us to grow. Lord, in our lives, we are choosing daily to come before you because we want to develop a personal relationship. Lord, if we don't learn anything else in this Bible study, one thing we want everybody to know that is listening, everybody who is participating, that the number one thing we need to do is have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And Lord, and as we do that, we know that the Trinity will be a blessing to us. We know that we will be able to grow. We know that we'll be able to do everything according to your will, your way, and your purpose, because we will take step by step to learn your ways, to put them and hide them in our hearts so that we can be obedient to that which you value. And Lord, as we go today, we're asking that you would enlighten and empower Eric, and you would empower Britt and Joan and Brian and myself and the people who participate. We just ask, I don't know who else on the line, but that everybody that's on the line tonight would be a support system and that they too would be blessed. Surely everyone. And so we come before you with our hearts bowed down as empty pitchers before a full fountain, waiting, willing, believing that we will receive all that you have for us and that we'll be able to share so that others will know you more. We ask this blessing in your Son Jesus' name. We pray. Amen.
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 So we're going to hear Vicky Yohe's Because of Who You Are in praise and adoration of our Lord and Savior. Then after that, we will have scripture. And after scripture, we'll have intercessory prayer.
Glory,
because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because
Brother Eric, are you on the line?
Thank
Brother
you.
Eric, are you on the line? Joan, since he's not available to read right now, would you go ahead and read the second one?
The second one, that will be Zaniah. Zaniah 3, verse 1 to 8. Is that right? Yes.
Whatever one you saw on the text.
Okay. Okay, the first one was Joel 2, verse 1 to 11, and Zaniah is the second one, 3, 1 to 8. And the wickedness of Jerusalem, soiled, defiled, oppressing city. It has listened to no voice. It has accepted no correction. It has not trusted in the word, in the Lord. It has not drawn near to its God. The official within it are roaring lions. The judges are evening wolves that leave nothing until the morning. Its prophets are reckless, faithless persons. Its priests have profaned what is sacred. They have done violence to the law. The Lord within is righteous. He does no wrong. Every morning he renders his judgment, each dawn without fail. But the unjust knows no shame. I have cut off nations. The battlements are in ruins. I have laid waste their streets so that no one walks in them. Their cities have been made desolate, without people, without inhabitants. I said, surely the city will fear me. It will accept correction. It will not lose sight of all that I have brought upon it. But they were the more eager to make all their deeds corrupt. Therefore, wait for me, says the Lord, for the day when I arise as a witness, for my decision is to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, to pour out upon them my indignation. All the heat of my anger, or in the fire of my passion, all the earth shall be consumed. The word of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Joel.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Good to see you. Good to hear you.
Well, glad to be here, but, I was there the first time. I have technology. But anyway, the first reading, now the second reading, will be Joel. And as I was saying, or trying to say, I went back to, in the Old Testament, two of the lesser prophets, because they had something to say concerning our study tonight in Revelation 9. And this is Joel, and this is the New Living Translation, and I'll be reading verses chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. I kind of made a little bit, 1 through 11. Blow the trumpet in Jerusalem. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear, because the day of the Lord is upon us. It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. Suddenly, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a mighty army appears. How great and powerful they are. The likes of them have never been seen before and never will be seen again. Fire burns in front of them and follows them in every direction. Ahead of them, the land lies as fair as the Garden of Eden in all its beauty. Behind them is nothing but desolation. Not one thing escapes. They look like tiny horses, and they run as fast. Look at them as they leap along the mountaintops. Listen to the noise they make, like the rumblings of chariots, like the roar of a fire sweeping across a field, or like a mighty army moving into battle. Fear grips all the people. Every face grows pale with fright. The attackers march like warriors and scale city walls like trained soldiers. Straight forward they march, never breaking rank. They never jostle each other. Every move is in exactly the right place. They lunge through the gaps and no weapon can stop them. They swarm over this city and run along its walls. They enter all the houses, climbing like thieves through the windows. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord leads them with a shout. This is his mighty army, and they follow his orders. The day of the Lord is awesome. Trembling, there's an awesome trembling thing. Who can endure it? I read for you Joel 2, verses 1 through 11. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and understanding, and carrying out of his holy word.
Amen.
Amen. Praise be the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
We're waiting.
There may be people out there who have prayers to lift up to the Lord. This is our chance to come before him and to pray for guidance for our friends and family and ourselves, to pray for help, pray for mercy and grace. Who out there has prayers to bring up to the Lord?
This is Chaplain. This is Dr. Susie. I have a prayer request. I'm going to have a procedure done on Friday, so I ask your prayers. And was concerned because I was going to have to take a taxi to the hospital and then take a taxi back because I don't have family here. And I called Joan. And God is so good. She said she'd take me there and pick me up and take me home.
Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. This is Eric. I'd like to uplift my mom and her health, specifically her back that she's having issues with and trying to determine about surgery. My Uncle WB and his dementia. My Uncle Wendell, who's in a nursing home, recovering from a stroke, but has also contracted COVID as well. My Uncle Dwayne and his recovery from his injuries. And I need to add a niece who I found out over the weekend has contracted COVID as well. She's not hospitalized, but she is having a very difficult time of it at this particular point in time, and her name is Sanan.
Amen.
Is there anyone else out there who has prayers to lift?
Yes, this is Joan Main.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'd like to ask prayers for the family that was traveling around as well, and also to protect them from all this COVID-19, and also safety as well for my husband, who's going through a lot of vertigo, and he's been fighting it for a week now. And thank God they finally gave him an appointment, so by the 14th he will go through as well. And keep us safe, and also the whole world will recognize that there is God, the creator of heaven and earth.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Who else?
This is Margaret from Florida, and I wanted to ask for prayer for my daughter, Sophia, who's 30 weeks pregnant tomorrow with twins.
Mm.
Prayers that she will come to the time of delivery, and that the baby and she will not contract COVID in the hospital or before. And I do praise the Lord that all my children are doing well and have jobs, but I pray that the Lord would touch their hearts, that he would call to them once again. They were raised in the church. They were raised in truth and in faith in the Holy Word. And it just seems like they're kind of lukewarm, and the world has overcome their hearts. And I just pray that they would, their love for the Lord that existed in childhood would be rekindled again.
Hmm.
Pray the Lord would speak and call them in the midst of all these worries that they face.
Amen. May your prayers be answered.
Thank
you. May they be answered.
Amen.
Who else might have prayers to lift up and people to bring before the Lord? Let's pray. Let's pray together as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Lord, though we stand before you distributed in different places around the world, we come to you as a unified family tonight.
Yes.
We come to you as people who love you, who trust you, who honor you, who glorify you and worship you.
Yes.
Lord, we also come to you as people who rely on you and depend on you.
Yes.
Because we are small and you are eternally great.
Mm-hmm.
So Lord, these prayers which have been lifted up, we ask for your intervention in them. These prayers for protection from disease as diseases spread throughout the world. These prayers for healing, for consolation, for your intervention into our lives to help us. Not just by showing us your love, but by showing us your healing power, the grace and mercy that can only come through you. We have all these humans running around trying to help us with medicines and techniques, and they're all just so tiny and insignificant compared to what you can do. So we look to you to help us. Lord, and even though we don't deserve it, we ask for miracles to happen in our friends and family's lives. Because only you can do this for us.
Yes.
We humble ourselves before you, Lord. We ask for healing in our land. We ask that people grow to love and honor and care and respect each other. And that that's driven by you, by the love that you show us, by the energy that you deliver to all of us.
Yes.
I ask that our country not be divided. I ask that we are not going to attack other countries and kill innocent people. I ask that, Lord, you intervene and you turn this around so that people can learn to live together and love one another. And I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, we thank those of you who participated in devotion today. It was truly a powerful devotion, and we're grateful for the word. As we go into the further part of the service, asking that if we could find out, get the roll call and see who's on the line tonight.
This is Eric.
Brian.
Margaret.
Britt.
Margaret and Britt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Brother Mateo, are you there?
I heard him earlier.
Was that Brother Mateo? Is that you? So. We've got several people on the line that aren't saying anything at this point. You have to get off mute if you're trying to talk, Brother Mateo. So, but as we go forward, Brother Eric, if you are ready to go, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Yeah, well, I had to make sure I wasn't on mute. Thank you, Dr. Susan. So, Yeah, we got to remember that. You got to check your phone. So we're getting ready to go into the fifth trumpet blast and the sixth trumpet blast. We know that God's judgment, as we read in Revelation, delivered to us by John, is basically in three forms. That you have the seal judgment, you have the seven seals on the title deed, the scroll, you have the seven trumpets, and then later we'll get into the seven bowls, the seven vials, if you will. And so as the Lamb broke the seventh seal last week, we found out that heaven was quiet for about an hour. And we discussed the possibilities of what that was, and one of the commentators said, look, at that point, the seal, the seventh seal was broken, so the whole scroll, the whole title deed that Jesus held was open and revealed, and everyone could see exactly what God's plan was at that point. And I asked the question last week, have you ever heard something or saw something that just left you speechless, that you just didn't know what to say? And so we've had all along people speculating on what God's judgment was going to be on the world. Well, now I don't have to speculate anymore, because now it's been revealed. It's been opened. It's been there for them to see. And it left everyone speechless. And so we also know that God received the prayers of the saints mixed with the incense. And we talked about the incense that was burnt on the gold altar, the most precious altar in heaven, and the sweet aroma, and what it was pleasing to God. And that God really, sometimes he says yes in our prayers, sometimes he says no in our prayers, sometimes he says wait. But all of our prayers are important to God, even the ones that he has to tell us no, because we are smart enough to know that God is the one who is still in control. And so then we got into the first four trumpet blasts and what was accomplished there. And so now we want to look at this fifth one, because the first four dealt with nature. They dealt with, you know, the grasses, and they dealt with the salt water and the fresh water, and it dealt with navigation of commerce and all of those things. Well, now we're getting ready to get into more serious judgment against mankind on earth. And there are symbolic things here, and there are literal things here. And I want to make sure that we separate those as we read this, so that we come to a true understanding about what God is doing and why he's doing it. I think we know why he's doing it, but there are some infinite things that I want to discuss. So if someone could read Revelation 9, verses 1 through 12 for me.
Some of us may think it's symbolic. Some of us may think it's literal.
Well, we're gonna try to determine which is symbolic and which is literal, based on our reading and our understanding, and based on other scriptures. So we're gonna try to do that. But the thing that I guess I would tell you is, God's judgment is literal. There ain't nothing symbolic about that.
Wrath is wrath by God.
Correct. God's judgment, God's wrath is literal. There is nothing symbolic about that, but we wanna dive into what we're gonna read. So Revelation 9, 1 through 12, please.
This is Dr. Susie, if nobody else wants to read. Revelations 9, 1 through 12 says, "Then the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen to earth from the sky, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. When he opened it, smoke poured out as though from a huge furnace, and the sunlight and air turned dark from the smoke. Then locusts came from the smoke and descended on the earth, and they were given power to sting like scorpions. They were told not to harm the grass or plants or trees, but only the people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were told not to kill them, but to torture them for 5 months with pain, like the pain of a scorpion sting. In those days, people will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. The locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. They had what looked like gold crowns on their head, and their faces looked like human faces. They had hair like women's hair and teeth like the teeth of a lion. They wore armor made of iron, and their wings roared like an army of chariots rushing into battle. They had tails that stung like scorpions, and for 5 months they had the power to torment people. Their king is the angel from the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek, Apollyon, the destroyer. The first terror is past, but look, 2 more terrors are coming.
Thank you, Dr. Susie. So the fifth trumpet, and like I said, the first four dealt with destroying, you know, the water supply, fresh water, salt water, the grass, crops.
Trees.
Right, trees made the water bitter so the people can drink it. The sun, the heavens, the stars, and the sun and the moon and the stars were darkened that they only gave a third of their light. And so, but now this fifth trumpet blast, we see it says a star falls, and we know that in the Old Testament, when it usually talked about a star, it talked about an angel. It talked about Satan falling from heaven in Isaiah. In Job, it talked about the heavenly beings of angels that were in heaven. And so it's not a star. It's not like the star in the third trumpet. It's an actual demonic being.
Yeah.
It is an actual demonic being. Yes.
This is Dr. Susie. One of the things I wanted to say, and it just blew me away, is when he was talking about the judgment following the third, it says the mass falling from heaven to earth was like a great star. It fell like a blazing torch. And my commentator talks about the star was named Wormwood, and it's a bitter desert plant mentioned in the New and Old Testament, but it represents sorrow and bitter judgment. But this is the key that kept surprising me. It said that the meteor, that it, the third trumpet symbolically seems to consider it as a large meteor or star falling to the earth from heaven and turning the water into bitterness, so that people who drank it die. We talked about this last week. But in my studies, I was looking at astrology, and now they're saying that there have been meteors that have been very close to the earth, how those meteors have the possibility of landing in the ocean and creating major catastrophes. So I just wanted to bring that out as something that is, as these meteors get closer to the planet, you know, this is in line with what we're talking about, and it just, you know, it just amazed me. So, fast forward.
Yes, thank you, and that is correct. Meteors hitting the earth would be devastating. At this point, we know that most of them burn up in the atmosphere, but if they're large enough, they can survive that.
This is Brother Mateo.
But here.
Go ahead, Mateo, I think it's time to get in.
I'm having a bad connection. I'll come in a minute. Go ahead, brother.
We hear you.
And
so, fine. Okay, go ahead.
But this is an actual being, and it states that when you get down to 11, the king is the angel of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek, Apollyon, the destroyer.
Mm-hmm.
So now God is starting to use demonic forces to carry out his judgment.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that awesome, though, Eric? Because what happens is it made it clear that that's why everybody needs to have their forehead stamped in favor of God, on God's side. You know, that we always talk about who's on the Lord's side. And that's how they knew.
Right. Right. And so now he's starting to use these. And so the first one is coming out of the bottomless pit. Now, there are those who think that the demon was Satan himself. A lot of commentators don't believe that because Satan, who copies God, always wants to try to use others unless he just absolutely has to show up. So I personally don't believe that it's Satan, and it says it's their king and it's just prayer. So I think if John meant for it to be Satan, he would have said that. So this is a high-ranking lieutenant.
But this is Dr. Susie, but I do believe it was Satan because the scripture talks about how he was like a star, and we see that in the scripture in earlier prophetic text. And so, you know, it makes sense that him being the ruler of darkness would be given the keys and kicked out of heaven and sent to open and bring his demons into the world so that he could begin to rule. But that's my perspective.
All right. It's Brother Mateo. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, how y'all doing? First of all, I wanted to say on that comment, it's not Satan because all angels are stars. So all angels can be all fallen angels. All fallen angels are stars.
Yes.
All stars sing to the Most High, so all of them are stars. Plus the one that's trapped under the world in the bottomless pit is not Satan. It's Azazel, and that's told to us in the Old Testament.
Well, I'm coming from Revelation 12:9. And Revelation 12:9 says this. It says, "And the dragon lost the battle, and he and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil of Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with his angels."
Correct.
So, and then it goes on and says, "It has come at last, salvation and power in the kingdom of our God and the authorities of his Christ. But the accusers of our brothers and sisters have been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night." So
that's
why,
true.
and the scholars that I have followed, you know, and this is not just me, these are scholars who are reputable, who do this on a daily, and it's not just one, but I've looked in three different books who also think that. So, you know,
well,
we all got our perspective. Right. It's okay.
Right. But let me read this, and because that is very true. But I think this that I'm getting ready to read helps to move us forward. As soon as the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, John watched the star fall from heaven.
Okay.
Huh? No, this is not a particular scripture. This is a commentary from Charles Swindoll. As soon as the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, John watched the star fall from heaven. The star is often symbolized in scripture to refer to very famous or prominent persons, Numbers 24:17, Satan, Isaiah 14:12-17, angelic beings, Job 38:7, human leaders of the church, Revelations 1-20, or even Christ, the bright and morning star, Revelation 20-16. Some understand the star in this passage to be Satan falling from heaven, though it could simply be a high-ranking demon given authority over the abyss. Either way, the emphasis in this passage is clearly on what the star did, not on who he is.
Right. And 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, you know, we have to remember that he always talks about being the angel of light, and previously it talks about him being the star. So this one says, but I'm not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So, you know, it's we all have a perspective, but the reality is that the point is he opened up the gates and he let all of the demons out.
Well, no, he didn't let all of them out.
Well, he let the demons out that we're talking about, the ones that are like the locusts.
Right. So he let the first set out. And so these locusts, and the reason I read Joel was that locusts in the ancient time were feared because of the devastation that they could do to a land. Over, if a locust swarmed, they would eat everything in a 400-square-mile radius. And if they ate everything, then the land was barren, and people couldn't make a living. They couldn't live because all of the crops were gone and eaten. So John knows that, and he's comparing that to what he's seeing now, that this swarm of these beasts, these demons, is as great as a locust swarm, which means it's devastating. But these particular locusts are told not to hurt the vegetation. They're told to do what?
They're told to,
they're given power to
torture
do what?
Men. To
right.
torture men. And so instead of messing with vegetation, they're not even the same type of locust. These are demons. These are demons in the form of locusts for me. They have teeth like lions. They have tails like scorpions. And their whole purpose is to do what demons do, and that's destroy humans or try to destroy them.
And yet they are also told that they can't kill them. They can only torture them. So even at the midst of the demons who are insidious, who have this power and this authority, their power is still limited by the sovereign hand of God.
There you go.
Because this is about punishment. You know, and
yeah.
People thought that this was going to be a short period of time and then they get through. No, this is punishment. This is paying for your sins. This is a 5-month struggle. So this is not something that's just a breeze, oh, I'll just suffer for a little while. No, these people are begging for death.
But it eludes them. They want to die, but they can't die.
No.
5 months.
Wow.
That's painful.
Right. And as Dr. Susie said, they are not the locusts that we think about in the insect realm. It says that they had gold crowns on their head. They had human faces. Their wings were like, their hair was like the hair of a woman. Their teeth were like the teeth of lions. They wore armor made of iron. And they had tails like scorpions with the power to torment people. The power was given them for 5 months. So think about that. 5 months of agony once you get stung by this demon. And it doesn't tell us what the agony is, but think about the most severe pain that you've ever been in your life. And think about enduring that every day, all day, 24 hours a day for 5 straight months. Think about the darkest time you've had in your life that you thought was going to be the end of you. And imagine being in that state every day, all day, 24 hours a day for 5 straight months.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be enough to drive you mad?
I was thinking that folks would go mad.
This is Joe's
But
name.
Yet it says that they. But it says that it drove them mad. It drove them to want to die.
Right. This is Joe's.
But yet
name.
Death flew them. Have any of you ever been to the point to where it was just so unbearable that you asked the Lord to take you?
No.
Not to take me, but this is Joan in Maine. I'd like to share that moment of the agony, kind of like. It is when there is something that's bothering you inside that you want, you cannot go to sleep, you want to fight it, you cry, you pray, you wanted to, you know, Lord, what's going on? It's just bothering inside you. It's just the emotion just being, but you can't, but you know that God says do not kill yourself, you know, something like that. But my question was, how can I overcome this emotion that is just disturbing me that I could not, that I have to, so I learned how, what I have learned from church was to chant. And I was just dancing and chanting and praying, cover up with a blanket over me and going like that. And I don't know why, but I have this urge to, how will I fight this? Something is bothering me inside. And that agony emotionally, it's just so, I don't know, it's just, you don't know how to express it that you want. If I do not know about God, I would definitely try to look for death. But I do feel
amen.
That.
Amen.
Yeah, you know, this is Dr. Susie. I don't know about you guys, but I always wondered about hell. And how God always talked about the bottomless pit. And that's what the abyss is. It's the bottomless pit. And, you know, the idea of being cast into the bottomless pit is pretty dark. And to think that, you know, whether you believe it's Satan or whether you believe it's something else opening the door, Jesus said, and Jesus said unto them in Luke 10:18, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. That would be like a fallen star, Paul writes, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And so we have this person that actually takes the keys, goes to the abyss, opens the abyss, releases the demonic forms that present themselves as we're looking at. But then it says, the abyss is a literal place. So, again, we're not talking about theoretical or hypothetical, you know, or symbolic. This is a literal place. And this is where it says, during the last part of the Great Tribulation, the key to the abyss is given to Satan, and he is given a freedom that he never had before. I believe, which explains why man cannot die. That's what this writer says. So here people are suffering because Satan is enjoying tormenting. You know, the Bible says that he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may destroy.
He's a destroyer.
And it says, and he opened the bottomless pit and then arose a smoke out of the pit.
Right.
Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah, that's true. So,
when we go on and we talk about this pain that these people are supposed to be enduring, you know, has anybody ever heard of how painful a scorpion sting is? They say
yes.
It's one of the worst pains. Go ahead, Brett. You have?
I come close.
Jeez.
Now, when I was in the Air Force, and I was, I had to drive a refueling truck down a Gila Bend, Arizona, and park it and spend the night. But we had to put our boots up on top of the bunk beds. That way, the scorpions wouldn't get into your shoes. I came real close putting shoes on, and scorpion almost got me. But now I've heard about it, and I've seen guys that have been stung by a scorpion. It's not a pretty thing.
No, it's not.
It's with you.
So
that's what, there's also that's also on that revelation. It shows that where did I hear this one? I heard also regarding of with the spirit. When the spirit is caught by the to the bottom pit, right? What happened to them is that the devil just keep annoying them, annoying that you're just gnawing and crying and moaning, and they keep repeating it because there's no more human, there's no more body in the bottom pit. It's only a spirit, those who goes to the bottom pit. But that was an explanation, and I could, it's telling me, just dawned on to me that this 5 months is nothing comparing to the bottom pit.
Hell, the eternity. Woo! Yeah. Mm.
So listen to this, please, because I think this is relevant for us. Satan, his demons have been at work tempting and attacking humans since the infamous sneak attack in the Garden of Eden eons ago. They have never ceased pursuing their ultimate goals of destroying the dignity of humanity and driving a wedge between human and their creator. But Revelation 9 shows us that a time will come when the invisible warfare that people experience today will be insignificant compared to the frontal assault of the enemy's army during the Great Tribulation. As we study John's version and observe the enemies of darkness battling in the future, we can better understand how similar spirits of wickedness try to torment us today.
Amen.
I believe
they said it's so bad, it will be so bad, worse than it's ever been, and worse than it will ever be.
Correct. But what I want to express is that sometimes the hardships that we face and that we go through are sometimes directed by demonic forces.
Yes. And
sometimes it's our own sins.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's our own foolishness, but sometimes there are demonic forces at work trying to cause you pain and heartache.
But that's why the Lord tells us on a regular. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Dr. Susan. No, go ahead.
I was just supporting what you were saying about the demonic forces, which is why God said and let us know in Peter that he's seeking whom he may destroy. And that's why it talks about how there are legions. And so we've been reminded of this over and over, and if we know that that's the case, that's why he tells us to put on the armor of God every day to protect against those darts, to protect against that battle. So you're right.
Yeah. Purity. Yes, this is also the purity of heart and mind and soul.
Right. And on occasion, God may use demons to further his purpose. Because they are creatures, demons are accountable to God and thus can be used by him as he may desire. But they are still accountable to God. They can only do what the sovereign hand of the Lord allows them to do. And so we as believers need not be afraid when we face those demons.
Correct.
And we know that it's a demon. We need not be afraid. And there are four things that we need to remember in doing that. First, we must remember that although they are invisible, demons are real and aggressive. As long as they have freedom to roam this world, they are in a seek and destroy mode, looking for an opportunity to strike both believers and unbelievers. Second, we are reminded that although angels of darkness are innumerable, they are organized and committed to our destruction. Like battle-hardened army, Satan forces know how to wage an effective war for the heart and minds of all people, from subtle tricks to full-blown spiritual blitzkrieg. They are ready to use whatever means are necessary to win. Third, we should be encouraged that although these demons are powerful and intimidating, they have limitations that can be restrained. We see that even during the tribulation, these wicked angels can only do what they are allowed. And today, in the spirit restraining power through the church, the power is even more limited. And fourth, we must never forget that although these creatures are powerful and fierce, they flee at the sovereign name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In his matchless name, they cower in fear, run for cover, and scramble for survival. With a single syllable of rebuke, Jesus Christ can flatten Satan's entire army. They are no match for him.
You know, I hear that, and part of me kind of struggles with the idea. And I did think I heard you clearly say that you feel that the enemy is, we know that they're still under sovereign control of God, but are you saying that you feel that the will of God is, I don't believe that God utilizes, well, I think he utilizes allows it to bring our good. But do you believe that God actually directs?
Sometimes he will use evil spirits. Remember Job?
Yeah,
The enemy went to God and said, ask the question, can I? It wasn't God saying, use my servant Job. It was the enemy that went to him and said, let me see him.
It was the enemy who said to God, God asked the question. He asked, say, where you been? He said, to and fro throughout the world. He said, have you noticed my servant Job? And he said, yeah, but if you take your hand away from Job, then he'll curse you.
Mm-hmm. But he was just saying that Job would kill him. And he said,
Job is an upright man, he says, but I'll let you, but you can't touch his body the first time.
But he asked, could he do that? He says, if you take your hand away, he made the suggestion.
I get that, Dr. Susie, but God still had to allow that direction to happen, and he gave him specific that he could only do X. He couldn't go beyond.
And that's
what
I said to you earlier when I said I believe that God is sovereign, and I believe God allows, but I don't believe that Jesus says God directs evil to do things. I don't believe that. I think that, you know, it's the evil. Evil has decided, when Satan rose up against the Lord and decided that he wanted to be God, and the battle began, because if that was the case, the many times when they have spirits or evil fighting against the good spirits, when you have times when God sends the archangel to fight against the demons, so there's times when we know that they're sovereign, but we know that evil does its own thing to try to disrupt God's plan. So,
but it can never disrupt God's plan.
Right. Absolutely, because God is sovereign. But I'm just saying, I don't necessarily believe that. I think it's directed by God. I think God may allow. I think God allows. But directed by God, I think he allows
If God is allowing it, then is God using those demons to carry out his purpose?
Yeah,
he's allowing them to. He's not directing. Allowing and directing to me is two different things. But, you know, I said my piece. You said yours. Let's move on.
Well, I can see it right here.
This
is John from Maine. I see it right here from I saw the stars that had fallen from the heaven and earth, given the key to the shaft. It was given the bottom pit. He opened the shaft, and on that, it's a continuation from the seven trumpets. So then, that is the authority that God has been, that is going to happen, and it's probably happening now anyway. And then from the smoke came on the 4th, on the 9 verse 4, they were told not to damage the grass on earth, though they are actually the, how do you call it, green, they eat green stuff rather than human or meat, and growth, or any tree, but only those people who do not have the seal of God, only who do not have the seal of God on their forehead, they were allowed to torture them for 5 months. That's already a given authority, isn't it?
That's a given authority. They were allowed to do that.
This is Brian.
But they could only do what God said they could do. They couldn't do any more than that. They couldn't kill them. But
this is Brian from Maine.
Yes, Brian.
Thank you. I'd like to add another perspective for discussion that I've thought about and prayed about often myself. Consider the big picture that Satan and his demons are participating in. We often look at it from our perspective and how they affect us and how they make our life difficult and tempt us. But for just a moment, think about what they are doing and why they are doing it. They've been given latitude, or we might even use the word permission, to build their own eternal kingdom. They know where they're going to be for eternity. They have no doubt about that. It's plain and clear to them. They have been given some time to collect human souls to bring into that kingdom forever. So the demons and Satan himself have a motivation that we can't understand. It's beyond our scope or level of understanding. But they are interested in populating at least part of their kingdom with human souls. As part of that process, they're also given latitude to torment humans, to corrupt humans, to separate humans from God, and to try to prevent humans from accepting Jesus as a Savior. That's their motivation. They are building it for eternity.
Correct. So their ultimate goal is that of destroying the dignity of humanity and driving a wedge between humans and their Creator. Remember when Satan told God, "I will have more souls than you will have." And what did God say? What did God say when Satan said that? "I will turn rock into souls." Satan, as Dr. Seuss said earlier, Satan said that he was going to set his throne above God's throne. Now, God created Satan. And the scriptures tell he was the most beautiful angel in heaven. But he became prideful and conceited and wanted to have full authority. And God threw him out of heaven, according to the scripture, cast him down. And so their motive, and he took, and it says he took a third with him. Brother Mateo, are you there? He took a third with him when he left. And so, he's trying to populate. He's trying to populate his final resting place, but his ultimate goal is to, and let me put it this way, his ultimate goal is to try to show God, well, you made man and you put so much stock into man, but he ain't nothing. I can gain control of him.
Amen.
That's the fight. That is the battle.
Amen.
The battle is for God's creation of humanity. Because God created man, made in his own image, in his likeness, and gave him free will. Everything else God made was made for a specific purpose.
Amen.
And God lavished his love on mankind. And Satan was like, no, I'm going to show you, God. And so that was the sneak attack in the Garden of Eden. Oh, well, if you eat that, you ain't going to surely die. Your eyes will be open and you'll be like God. You'll know the difference between good and evil. Well, once we ate that, we wasn't going to be like God. We wasn't going to be God. We were already created in God's image and in his likeness. And the battle has been ever since of Satan trying to prove to God that he's going to have more souls in hell than God will have in heaven.
All right.
Amen, amen.
And then now in Revelation, God is saying, okay, it's time for me to judge everybody. It's time to judge everybody. And so now in the fifth trumpet, people are tormented and they want to die, but they can't die. And God is saying, and God is still saying, because of the fact that they can't die, God is still saying, I'm giving you a child. I'm giving you an opportunity. I'm giving you an opportunity to repent. I'm giving you an opportunity to accept my son Jesus as your savior. I'm giving you an opportunity to understand my sovereignty, my king, my lordship. I'm giving you an opportunity. That's why they can't die. They are still being given an opportunity to repent. But now let's read what happens when the sixth trumpet blasts. Because it's obvious, if the sixth trumpet has got to sound, they taking God up on his offer. So if we can read, if someone can read Revelation 9, 13 through, I believe that's 21.
The sixth angel blew his trumpet. I heard a voice coming from the horns of the golden altar that stood in the presence of God. To the sixth angel who held the trumpet, the voice said, release the four angels held bound at the great river, the Euphrates. So the four angels were let loose to kill a third of mankind. They had been held in readiness for this very year, month, day, and hour. And their squadrons of cavalry numbered twice 10,000 times 10,000. This was the number I heard. This was how I saw the horses and their riders in my vision. They wore breastplates, fiery red, turquoise, and sulfur yellow. The horses had heads like lions' heads, and from their mouths issued fire, smoke, and sulfur. By these three plagues, the fire, the smoke, and the sulfur that came from their mouths, a third of mankind was killed. The power of the horses lay in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails had heads like serpents, and with them they inflicted injuries. The rest of mankind who survived these plagues still did not renounce the gods their hands had made, or cease their worship of demons and of idols fashioned from gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, which cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders, their sorcery, their fornication, or their robbery.
Wow. You come from the fifth trumpet where these locust-like demons, as John records that, to these larger demons, and it was 10,000 times 10,000. You know, for you math majors, that's 20 million mounted troops. I'm sorry, 200 million. Mm-hmm. Sorry, mm-hmm. See, math wasn't my strong suit, right? So now God is intensifying His wrath. After the locusts, they didn't die. He's given them a chance to turn away, to repent, and yet they don't. So the six blows, and it's four angels who are from the River Euphrates. Anybody know what that is today in modern world time, where that is?
That's in Iraq.
Correct. That's the country of Iraq, modern-day Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
In the Middle East. So these four angels have been prepared again for this specific job. They don't have the luxury of determining what they want to do. They have been bound for this specific date, this specific time, this specific hour, this specific minute, this specific job. And they're leading these 200 million mounted troops. And John sees the riders sitting, and he gives a description of what they're dressed like, and then their horses. And these are this again is not symbolic. This is literal. The riders wore armor that was fiery red, sky blue, and yellow. The horses' heads were like the heads of lions. Fire, smoke, and burning sulfur billowed from their mouths. One-third of the people of the earth were killed by these three plagues, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the burning sulfur that came from the mouths of the horses. The power was in their mouths, but also in their tails. For the tails had head like snakes with the power to injure people. So they can get them coming and going. If you get by the mouth, you're going to run into the tail. So no one is escaping. If you haven't repented, if you don't have the seal on your head, if you haven't repented, you are in trouble. And by this time, by the time that we read that they had the power to injure, a half of the world's population is dead. Remember, you got 1/4 seals.
Well,
and now in the sixth seal, you got 1/3 of people that are going to die. That's half of the world's population.
It's happening. It's happening.
And we won't when we read this, you know, like I said, these 200 million are not a symbol of anything. These are literal demons that are to come during that time.
But
again, they are restrained. They are restrained by God only to do what God has appointed that they do.
They're fallen angels.
This is Dr. Susie. I want to read this. It says, though the judgment was devastating and obviously from God, it did not bring men to repentance. And they continued to worship demons and their representation in idols and kept on murdering and participating in the occult. The trumpet judgments clearly grew in a crescendo, becoming worse and more devastating. In spite of the clear evidence of God's power to judge the world, no evidence was given John that there would be any change of heart on the part of the great mass of humanity. That's rough.
It is. It's affecting us.
Well,
that's why
it
produced fear, but not
rough.
Repentance.
Right. That is rough, but this is rougher. Is that such a word, rougher?
Yeah.
Yeah, I use
okay.
that one.
Okay, you use that one too.
Go for it.
And I want to read this. I want to read this one because We're reading about what John is talking about idolatry in John's day. Mm-hmm. I want to bring it to us.
Yes.
Well,
carefully consider the following description of idolatry in our culture. Idolatry in our society is not so obvious, but it's just as real as it was in John's day. By definition, idolatry is turning an earthly thing into a god and worshiping it rather than God, the God of creation. Whatever we place ahead of God in our lives is an idol. Therefore, the modern world is full with idols: money, possessions, power, pleasure, sex, success, fame, drugs. These are all tools of Satan. And there are countless stories in which these very things have tormented and killed those who pursue them. We must warn people of the cosmic power and control of this secular world and call them to God.
Yeah.
Indeed, the cause of idolatry, a rejection of God, and the effects of idolatry, a godless lifestyle, ultimately result in the curse of idolatry, a rejection by God. Most people who become wrapped up in these things of this world, material possessions, people, fame, and fortune, never realize that they are following a path that will result in the hardened heart and judgment of wrath.
Yes, absolutely.
So, Eric, I have a question. Go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead. Go ahead and
what that says, and I want to get your question, but what that says is that it's not just the idolatry of falling down before a relic, an icon in church, or a cross, or a stone, something they can't see, can't walk and hear, stone, gold, wood, brass. There are other forms of idolatry in our society that are not really thought about as idolatry. But anything, it says, anything that you put in front of the God who created you is an idol.
Yes.
Okay, Dr. Susie, your question.
Well, I just got called for work. I'm on call again all week. So the question I had, I didn't know if we were able to say this, but it was really important to me to talk about when the Angel Blue, the sixth angel had the trumpet, and he said, "The golden." This is where the angel offered prayer. The sixth angel not only blows the trumpet, but has given command to loose the four angels, and they are bound at the river Euphrates. So, I wanted to talk about the significance of it being the river Euphrates. So, my study showed that the angel receives in turn his orders from a voice that was there at the horns of the golden altar. It is the voice of Christ. He has now ripped off the seventh seal, which led into the trumpets, and which will lead into the seven personalities and the seven wraths of God. The angels who are bound are evidently evil. Obviously, why would they be bound?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So releasing them turns loose a flood tide of destruction on the earth. They were bound away from the others because of the enormity of their crime. Now, it says, why were they bound at the Euphrates River? The Garden of Eden, right, was somewhere in the section. The sin of man began there. The first murder was committed there. The first war was fought there. It was where the flood began and spread over the earth. So I thought it was significant that it was taking them back to where everything began.
Of course.
Yes, I agree. Going back to Israel, the same thing.
That's true, Dr. Susan. I'm not going to read it, but you can find that in Genesis 2, starting at verse 10 through 14. And it talks about, and it's right, it's at the Garden of Eden, and it talks about that the Garden of Eden was right at the four branches of four rivers.
Euphrates. Mm-hmm.
And Euphrates
right.
was one of them.
The third branch called the Tigris flows east of the land of Ashur. The fourth branch is called the Euphrates.
Right. Yeah. Correct.
The Gihon.
Correct.
Gihon, Tigris, Ashur, and Euphrates. And that's where the four angels were.
Right. But that is right. It goes back to the beginning that they're loose because that's where the first disobedience started and everything else. But it's interesting to me that even after a half of the population is dead, the other half sees
yep.
it, and yet they still won't turn away from
repent.
Their sinfulness.
Hey, Brother Mateo.
Yes.
Yeah, I wanted to make a point real quick about the earlier when we were talking and we talked about the people that didn't repent. And Dr. Susie spoke on that, and I thought that was real, real interesting and real important for people to understand, like, the mystery behind that parable, why they wouldn't repent. And the reason why is because Satan has blinded the last few generations with this this thought of people being coming from the, you know, the primordial soup. So what happens is now that so many people are not believing in God, and scientists and so-called experts are explaining everything on television by creating all these new words like sun dogs, moon tears, and all this stuff they try to explain in the sky. People,
yes.
even when these things are happening and the proof of God is being revealed to men, they will be so stuck and so wicked in their ways and so brainwashed and blind by the things that made that even when Almighty God himself is bringing destruction on the earth, they won't understand it. Just like in the Bible when it said, "For God shineth the light in the earth and the darkness, and darkness understood it not." That's why men will not repent
yeah.
toward the end.
Yeah. But even to bring it even home even more, Brother Mateo, I had a friend who was talking to me about New Age, and he said the New Age taught that the people who followed Satan would be little gods. So they've been convinced, like Satan himself, that they can be gods.
Exactly.
If that's what
that's
people believe in. So, you know, again, the whole reason we fall short is when we desire, you know, to be like God. You know, Eve made a mistake. You know, throughout the time, folks make mistakes. But it's when we don't want to submit and look up to trust God, but we want to do it our way. Be the God, give the directions, you know, but we do that daily. So, I mean, you know, yes, this is happening, but let's look at where we are, Brother Eric, and how we either choose to be gods of our own life and do things our own way instead of what God tells us to do.
Hey,
25 after.
Yeah, and there hence lies the problem. But this is I want to close us on this. We know that these demons are there. We know that they can only do what God will allow them to do, and we need not be afraid. We just need to turn to God and call on Jesus to flee from them. But this is from Genesis 1:27. God created people in His own image. God patterned them after Himself. Male and female, He created them. He created us in His own image and His own likeness, and He gave us free will. We will never, ever, ever be ahead of God. And that's what Satan is promising these folks that he's recruiting. But they will never, ever be ahead of God.
Right.
Never, ever. Nor will Isn't Satan. And Satan has no, how can I put this?
Power.
Satan has no new thoughts of his own. He is only trying to copy what God has done and make it work for him.
Manipulate it, destroy it. So just I'd like to inject that with the Prince Joseph, Joseph, when he was trying to run away from the wife of the Pharaoh, when he was in jail.
Right. The guy he was working for. Yeah.
Okay, Dr. Susie, Brett has given us the 5-minute warning, and we 3 minutes into that.
I added a few minutes. We're okay. So, but let me say this one thing. I want to leave it on this note. Thank you, Eric, for everything. Appreciate the guidance. Yeah. You know, the Antichrist is going to use three things in particular to bring man's subjection to himself.
Yes.
Sorcery, fornication, robbery. And these things, all these things that happened, Paul wrote, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteous in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So with that word, if there's anyone tonight who chooses to be saved, not just because of what the doom and gloom and the torture and the agony that's coming, if you don't, but because of the love that you have for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If, in fact, you choose to believe with your mouth, confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you too would be saved. So we ask this prayer, Lord, in the name of Jesus, those who confess and open with their hearts and minds that they love you, and are professing that to you, to those of us who are here tonight, those people who are claiming that, if they would just utter that they love the Lord and they believe that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, that they know that he died on the cross, that they believe that in their hearts that he's living right now with the Father, and that they too will rise with him, that they too would be saved because they believe that, then they can join and get in a Bible-believing church that will teach them the Word of God, that will show them what they need to do to grow. And they can join us here on Your Place Love Connection Bible Study every Tuesday, and to grow and to glean and to sup together, to come and reason together. We don't agree with everything, but we do talk about it. We do come and dialogue. And so that's what's most important, to develop that relationship with God, so that you can grow and hear and discern God's word. We ask this now in Jesus' name. We praise you, Lord. And those of you who have accepted, amen, you are part of the family.
Amen.
So amen. Yes, yes, yes.
You have been listening to Blog Talk Radio. Our Bible study meets every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just let your fingers walk on your thumb and dial 646-478-4932. Remember, Dr. Susie is the show's host and moderator. Eric is our leader. Until next week, have a good one. Good night.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.